Good morning, church. Everyone's so quiet, came in quiet. This is amazing. Like, wow, this is so encouraging. Well, just want to welcome everyone to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. This is our Bible school time, and actually we're going to study out Ruth today, the story of redemption. And it was interesting that I went through the lists for the different characters. I said, you know what? I never really studied out about a woman character in the Bible. This would be good. This would be challenging. But you know what? I think it was very appropriate, and it was a very appropriate time for my life and what's going on in my life. And so I really appreciate the story. And I put on here, Ruth, the story of redemption, but it's a beautiful love story. And it's a connection that is awesome and it's incredible. It's a lot of sacrifice that's there. And I really pray through this time that you get as much out of it as I was able to get out of it, as much conviction as I was able to get conviction out of it too. So let us pray, and then we'll begin the class. Thank you so much, God, for you waking us up this morning. Thank you so much, God, for it starting out cool. It felt like fall. Thank you so much, God, for taking care of us, for your loving compassion and all the ways you take care of us. Pray so much, God, for all those affected by the hurricane, just with all the devastation and just people that have lost. And I pray so much, God, they will feel comforted by you, loved by you, that people will rally around them and that will love upon them and that they will see the love of you through all of this, God. But thank you so much for this time. I pray so much, God, we will get a lot out of this because, God, we truly see hearts, God, that are reflective of yours in this story. I pray this thing in Jesus' name, amen. So, glad to go through it. There's a lot of material to go through, especially trying to cover the four chapters in one setting. But in beginning is that the story of Ruth is about faith and redemption. And as we see that, we're going to see that storyline being played out constantly. And also, I could have added on there about love and about sacrificial love and being in there. And the events in Ruth probably took place during the period of the Judges, between 1375 and 1050 B.C., and they're thinking that the story was written around 1000 B.C. So in chapter 1, they were talking about the famine that was going on in the land as far as with the Israelites. And Elimelech and his wife Naomi left Bethlehem and lived in the country of Moab. They also had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Well, unfortunately, Elimelech died, so Naomi only had her two sons. And the two sons married Moabite women, who were Orpah and Ruth. I wanted to say Oprah, but I caught myself. It's Orpah and Ruth. And no disapproval by God is implied here, because the marriage with the Moabites was not forbidden by God, but Moabites or their sons to the 10th generation were not allowed in the tabernacle. And that's from Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3. So while it wasn't forbidden for the Israelites to marry the Moabites, that there was restrictions placed on Moabites. They did not have the full rights and privileges that the other Israelites did. And so the Moabites, though not Israelites, were considered distant relatives because they were descendants of Lot. Remember that was Abraham's nephew. And as a result, the restrictions did not apply to the Moabites. And it said, after living in Moab for 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion died. So now Naomi was left without her husband and her two sons. So it's a very tragic story. And so at this time, really, the society was built where the men took care of the women. And the women, if they didn't have any men to take care of them, then they were left to be poor, really poor and in bad circumstances. That's the condition that she was left in. And so then when Naomi heard the Lord had come to the aid of his people in Judah by providing food for them, that she decided to return back to her homeland and initially asked her daughters-in-law to go with her. But then as they had gotten to the place, Naomi then told her daughters-in-law to return to their mother's home. She told them that they would be better off going back to their land and to be with their people. That way their people can take care of them and that she could go back over there into Bethlehem, into the land of Judah, and be with her people in the hope that they would be able to take care of them the best that they can. One of them, as far as yet Oprah decided to return back to her land, but that Naomi decided to move on. But let's see that in chapter 1 and in verse 11. It said, but Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me. At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So we look at their situation. And definitely, the women were free to go back to their family because the levirate marriage didn't apply anymore because Naomi had no more sons. Her two sons had died. And she was telling them that even if she did marry somebody tonight and end up having a son, that you're not going to wait for them to turn of age to marry them. You're not going to wait 16, 18, whatever the time was. You're not going to wait that long for them to be old enough to be married to me. So you go. Start your life. Have your life over. Was very, very convicting, too. You could see in verse 13 just where Naomi was in her thoughts about God at that time. That she was bitter at that time. She was bitter because she looked at her life and she said, I have my husband, I have my two sons, so therefore I will be well taken care of. But because they are now gone and they're both dead, now I'm going to be a poor widow. Even in verse 20 and 21, she says, don't call me Naomi, she told them, which Naomi means sweet. She said, call me Mara, which is bitter, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Naomi was feeling things. She was depressed. Felt like God has turned his back on her. That's the way Naomi was viewing things at this time. The good news was at this time, because of the circumstances, that's the way that she felt. And so Orpah decided to leave. She decided to go back to the Moabites and go back to her family. But Ruth clung to her. That Ruth refused to leave and really gave one of the most beautiful statements in the Bible. It really was. She said, where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. What a beautiful commitment she made to her mother-in-law. That she said, your people are my people. Your God is my God. And it's so moving because, remember, Ruth comes from the background for the Israelites, so her God is the true God. But Shamash is the God of Moab. That Ruth decided she's going to be willing to give up that God too. She's like, I'm giving up the God that the Moabites worship. I'm worshiping a true God. And she didn't even use the statement of Elohim, as foreigners do, that she used Yahweh, was what the Israelites call God, indicating that Ruth is a follower of the true God, that Ruth was even looking at herself like, I'm not even considering myself a foreigner anymore. I am worshiping the true God. That truly everything about Naomi, she said, I am taking on. You are my family now. You are my only family. Whoever's your family is my family now. The family I had, I'm leaving them. What a beautiful commitment. And it wasn't like Naomi was going to live this glorious life that, you know what, the life that I'm leaving with the Moabites is worse than your life. Naomi, I want to grab onto your life because your life is better. And there's more advantages for me. There was so much more working for her to go and be with the Moabites. But her love and commitment was to Naomi. And I will stay with her. That no matter how poor a destitute we'll be that together. That I'm that committed to you. So then we see that Naomi then, they decide, you know, and then to the point that Ruth decided she's going to give up on trying to convince her they're both going to be together. And so then Naomi had a relative on her husband's side named Boaz. And he was a man of standing in her community. Now, as a younger and stronger of the two women, Ruth decided to take advantage of the harvest season in order to glean some ears of barley to supply food for her and Naomi. And what happened is that for gleaning that there was laws that were created. And the law of Moses had laid down strict rules protecting the right of the poor to glean following the reapers. That came from Leviticus 19:9, Leviticus 23:22, and Deuteronomy 24:19. And so basically what happened in gleaning is that as the workers go to work, then whatever is left, then the poor can come behind them and pick up whatever is left. And then they could make their food from that. And landowners were forbidden to reap their fields out to the very borders, nor could they send the reapers a second time into the same field. If they overlooked a bundle of grain, they were forbidden to go back and get it. This allowed the poor an opportunity to provide for themselves. God worked it out where the poor would be taken care of. That God wanted to make sure that the poor had a way. That was his welfare system. That was his way to make sure the poor was taken care of. But as it turned out, that Ruth ended up going to the field belonging to Boaz. Now, it could seem like a coincidence or an accident, but this was totally arranged by God that out of all the fields that she can go to, that she went to the field that Boaz went to. And we'll see why in a little bit as to why God really worked it out to make sure that this is the field that she ended up going to. So then, in seeing her, that the situation that Boaz ended up asking about Ruth. And we'll look at chapter 2, and starting in verse 8. It says, so Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me, don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner? Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I did not have the standing of one of your servants. That Boaz recognized her and recognized how hard she was working, said, who is this? And he began to tell him about Ruth. And the story got around about what Ruth did. And Boaz ended up telling her, listen, I want to protect you. Therefore, every time you go and glean, do not go in anybody else's field. Because either the other men in that field may see her as a foreigner and decide he could do whatever they want to do with her. They either will mistreat her or end up abusing her in some kind of way. Yeah, so stay in my field. My field is safe. And I will make sure I even tell my men not to even mess with you, not to even do anything to you. That he made sure that she was protected by being in that field. And even in verse 20, you start to see where Naomi began to find hope and faith. Because Naomi said, the Lord bless him. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, he has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. And so she had said that Naomi, in another statement, it called kinsman redeemers. And she said that Naomi told Naomi that that's what Boaz was. Now, a kinsman redeemer was a close, influential relative to whom members of the extended family could turn for help. Usually when the family line or possessions were in danger of being lost, that he was responsible for buying back family land, so during a crisis, buying back enslaved relatives, providing an heir for a dead brother, avenging the killing of a relative, and caring for relatives in difficult circumstances. That this was a huge responsibility that a kinsman redeemer had. A huge responsibility. They were there to make sure that if there were people in their family that was in need, that they would take care of their need for them. And God made it where Boaz had that heart and that personality and that character to take on the full thought of being a kinsman redeemer. What a great field for Ruth to pick. Out of all the fields for her to choose, this is the one that she chose. God's Spirit led her to choose that field. And that's the one that she went to. But you know, thinking about the kinsman redeemer and just stepping off for a second, you think about that, it could be referred to for God, as God at times. You know, in the Old Testament, where God would step in to bring a nation back into his family when the people could not do it themselves, that God would step in and be the kinsman redeemer. Our ultimate kinsman redeemer is Jesus, who came to buy us back into God's family. He came to redeem us, to pay a ransom, to make a purchase, to save us from loss, to save us from us being lost in sin. This was a setup in that time, the way God was working it out with a kinsman redeemer to take on the role that God took on for his people. And then later on, Jesus took on for all of us. It's amazing how God moved things and how God made things happen. So now we'll look at chapter 3 and in verse 10. As we look at this, we look at Naomi, how she at first, God puts it on her heart to have Ruth to arrange to propose to Boaz since he is one of their kinsman redeemers. That Naomi had her wash, put perfume on, put on her best clothes, and then she knew how things would work, that they would end up at a time as during that harvest season, that they would be on a threshing floor, probably to protect themselves and make sure that no one comes and steals their possessions. They will eat and drink, and then they will go and lie down in the threshing floor. That she would uncover his feet and lay down right beside him. Now, this may seem questionable. I said, whoa, this is kind of an interesting practice here. But you know what? This is pretty standard at that time. That Ruth was above reproach. And her actions were simply a ceremonial request for marriage. She took a risk because if Boaz was a man of questionable character and a bad character, he could have taken advantage of Ruth. But God worked on everything to make sure that didn't happen to her. So we see in verse 10, and this is Boaz speaking. He says, the Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you show earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. If he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. That Boaz was impressed that Ruth decided to marry him versus running after the younger men. That he knew that Ruth she was young and that she was beautiful, and that all of the men in the town, I'm sure, were like, I'll marry you, especially the younger men. But he was like, wow, that you actually went after me. I think what really impressed him even more was that Ruth chose to follow the Hebraic law, the Hebrew law, regarding marriage in Deuteronomy 25, 5 through 6. Now, in that part in Deuteronomy, it talks about if there is a brother, if the husband dies and the brother marries. If that brother dies and that brother marries, and it's about continuing the line and continuing that name and continuing the heir. And so while Ruth couldn't follow that because her husband didn't have any more brothers, that she still wanted to continue on the family line and wanted to keep that name going. And she was a Moabite keeping the Hebrew law. That really impressed him. But he recognized that there is another guardian redeemer in a family closer than him. And so he decided that this is the way it works. If he decides to marry you, then he has to be the one to marry you. But if he refuses, then I can step in and I can marry you. But it's interesting, though. You're going to see how Boaz's heart is. Boaz is like, yeah, I'm being diplomatic right now, but I need to work something out to make sure that he doesn't agree to marry her. I want to work this out because it's a beautiful woman. I want to marry her. And more than anything, she has an incredible heart. She had an incredible heart to do what she did for Naomi. But not only that, but she had an incredible heart for God. That while her upbringing was to take on a false God, that she took on the true, the real, the living God. An incredible heart. So let's see what happens in chapter 4 and in verse 1. It says, meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the garden redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here. And they did so. Then he said to the garden redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling a piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of those of these seated here, in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know, for no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it, he says. See, it worked out perfect for him. He's saying, you know what? Naomi is a widow, and that she wants to sell the land. That's the land doesn't belong to her, but it belongs to her husband and her sons that are now passed away, and that now she wants to sell it. He's thinking, I can get this at a really good deal because this is a poor widow, that I could get this for a good price. So when he heard about the land, he was like, oh, yeah, this is the automatic deal right here. I'll take the land. No problem. Sold. I'll take it. Let's make it happen. I get to get a possession, and it's going to be at a reasonable price. Let's do it. I'm all down for it. Then we go on. It said, then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the garden redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. The story changed on him. It flipped on him. When it was just the land, he was like, I'll take the land. Oh, yeah, I'll take the land. Man, I could do some farming and I could make some money. Oh, boy, I could expand my territory. And then later on, I could sell it. Woohoo! I hit the jackpot. But as soon as you take the land, you take on Naomi and Ruth. Oh, well, you see, what happened was, well, let me, well, man, ooh, man, well, let me, you know, ooh, what time it is. Oh, let me go. He was like, I got to get away. I got to run away. He was fine taking the land, but now taking on Ruth as his wife, taking on Naomi, that's a whole other cost. See, what happened is that, first of all, Naomi wasn't going to be considered for marriage because she was, you know, well up in age where she couldn't have any children. And the whole thing about doing this was about carrying on the name. It was about carrying on Elimelech's name and keep it moving. That's what this really was about, and the whole transaction was about. And so therefore, it really came down to Ruth being able to do it, because Ruth was of age that she could still have children. So it was about marrying Ruth. So therefore, Naomi, it wasn't about her, it was about Ruth. But also, if you're going to take Ruth on, you got to take on her people, which is Naomi. But he refused. It said the man apparently had a family of his own who stood to inherit his property. An additional wife and future son by Ruth could have caused a family dispute, undermining the distribution of his estate. He said, taking on another family is going to cause confusion. It's going to cause some rift between my family. So therefore, I don't want to do it. But there was also the possibility that if a son by Ruth was his only surviving heir, the land he already owned would pass into the family of Elimelech, that this was too great of a risk. That he knew that if the only one that was left was going to be Ruth's son, then Ruth's son would get all his possessions. And then all of a sudden he would transfer out of his family and transfer over to Elimelech's family. He's like, this is too great of a risk. But now if you also peel back, because remember how Ruth and the Moabites were considered foreigners. You got to think about what happened to Ruth and Naomi's family. Elimelech dies. Ruth and the other lady, Orpah, their husbands die. So they're probably looking at it like, you see them? They married Moabites. So you marry Moabite, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to die soon too. So you probably looked and said, well, so I got to take them on and I'm going to die soon? This is way too much happening. Way too much. I'm not taking this on. There was a lot of cost that this kinsman redeemer was not willing to do. But you know what? It worked out well for Boaz. Because I know Boaz's intention was, I want to marry Ruth anyway. So therefore, I can work this out. And so he did a great job of presenting it. I mean, that was an awesome job of presenting it. Presented to him about the land. He was down for it. I got the land. Take him on. Take Ruth on as the wife. Take Naomi on. I'm out. And he gladly said, you do it. I don't want to do it. You take on that responsibility. So Boaz, in front of everybody, said that he would go and not only purchase the land, but agree to marry Ruth. And so he did it in front of everyone, all those witnesses, to make sure that everyone knew within the land that's what he was deciding to do. So then we skip to verse 13. It says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. It's amazing that it worked out that Ruth ended up having a son named Obed. But then now, Obed would end up being Naomi's kinsman redeemer, because now she has a son, has a man in her lineage again. That's the son. And so now Naomi now can take her on. And he said it within background that it ended up being where Naomi ended up being more of a nurse and making sure she could take care of her grandson and was the one really taking care of him. But even the women living there said just some beautiful things about this. How they said that God ends up really renewing Naomi's life and sustaining her in her old age. It just was a glorious time for her. That she probably thought that that was it. There would be no more men in the lineage and in his family. But she ended up having Obed. And it described, even how beautifully it described, it said, Ruth is described as being better than 7 sons to Naomi. And think about how valuable they looked at as their sons. They said that Ruth was better than 7 sons. That's how valuable Ruth is to Naomi. What a blessing. But then I think about this, how God gave them more than they could even ask or imagine. That not only in a situation, Naomi and Ruth now, they have Obed, but Obed is the grandfather of David. And as a result of just everyone's sacrifice, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz are in the line of David, King David, but also they're in the line of Jesus. They end up being in the line of Jesus when it's all said and done. That when they all have moved on, all that time later, that they're being recognized as being in the line of Jesus and being relatives of Jesus, getting way more than they expected or imagined. But how God works things out too, by choosing a Moabite, God showed that the new covenant would apply to all people who believe, not just the Hebrews. That you look in the line, and it's just not one Israelite after another. You see people there that are not Israelites. You see different people in Jesus' lineage, but definitely you see the Moabite in that lineage. Just how powerful God made things and how God looked at things. So then, as we see things in closing, we see the circumstance, the decision, and then God's blessing. You see, Boaz, he was doing well. He had his land. But he decided to take care of 2 widows by letting Ruth glean from the land. As a result of that and how God really blessed him and how God worked things out, he ended up marrying Ruth and took Naomi into his home. That he was the one willing to do that. God's blessing is that he had a son. He became the great-grandfather of David. And he became part of Jesus' lineage. That his name lives on a whole lot longer than he thought it would live on. You see, Naomi, her circumstance, her husband and her sons died. So therefore, she was going to be a poor widow and destitute. And she was going to live out her time and be just living out a miserable life. That was what was destined for her. You look at what was going on, life was telling her, this is the way things are going to pan out for you. But her decision was to move back to the land of Judah and remain faithful to God despite her emotions. Because her emotions had her bitter. But she decided to remain faithful to God and not just give up on God and just leave God completely alone. As a result, she ended up receiving a grandson. She ended up living in Boaz's home and living where all of her needs were being taken care of versus of being a widow and being poor and destitute. And she ended up being part of the lineage of David and Jesus. And if someone had prophesied to her that at that time when she first moved back and told her all the great things that God's going to do for her, she probably would have laughed at them and thought they were crazy and out of their mind. That she felt like God was against her. That there's no way God would do something that amazing for her. So then we see Ruth in her circumstance. Her husband dies, and she decides that instead of going back to my family, I'm going to decide to be a poor widow, and I'm going to stay a poor widow with Naomi. But that was part of her decision, though, is that instead of going back to her land, she stayed with Naomi, that she leaves her family, and she follows the true God. Even to the point that she didn't go with Eliam, but she went with Yahweh. said, I'm going to take on the name that all the Israelites have for God. I'm going to take on the true name of God. That's what I'm going to take on. As a result of God's, as a result of her faith and her sacrifice and her love, that she marries Boaz, all her needs are fulfilled. She has a son. She's a great-grandmother of David, and she's part of Jesus' lineage. Once again, if you told all of them that this is, that however long, thousands of years later, that we still would be talking about them, they would have laughed in our face and said, no, they forget poor widows. As soon as the poor widows die, they go bury them and they forget about them. And they don't even exist anymore. People don't even talk about them anymore. Now, thousands of years later, they're still remembered. In very terrible circumstances, the blessings that God's given them are amazing. But the love that each of them show for each other is absolutely amazing. Tremendous showing of love and of sacrifice and of just, even to the point that everybody was impressed, and it was a talk around the town. And you know the talk around the town, bad news travels. But this news traveled. This glorious story of their sacrifice traveled. So as we leave this and think about our circumstances, what is the beautiful story God has for you? No matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much you're being challenged, no matter how much you may think that, you know what, God has turned his back on me, that God is not for me, that God is making me suffer, that I'm just going under this tremendous suffering. What is the beautiful story God has for you? That God has an amazing, beautiful story for all of us, just like he had for Boaz, just like he had for Naomi, just like he had for Ruth. Thank you so much for listening in, being part of class. You can now get your children and get ready for our worship service.